This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, everyone. I don't do music intros when I do the something else intro because I can't be bothered to learn how. Hello, everyone. I'm Yati Croshaw. I'm joined by Marty Sleva.
Hello, everybody.
And this week on Slightly Something Else, we're talking about adaptations generally. I noticed Nick put the clickbaity headline on the video, as is his wont, bringing up the subject that's been on everyone's minds lately.
You know what? Nick is on vacation, so if he wants to do a clickbait headline while he's supposed to be doing nothing, then good for him.
He's in the chat. I can see him. Hi, Nick. How's your vacation going?
Some people like going to Hawaii. Some people like going to Disney World. Some people like going to the Slightly Something Else chat.
This is why I very specifically didn't take my laptop last time I went on holiday.
That's genius. That's perfect.
But yes, you can tell Chris Pratt's announcement that Chris Pratt was being cast as Mario in a Mario movie. You can tell that certainly created a buzz.
It absolutely did.
You can tell from the way this video somehow got 3 dislikes before we even started.
People, I don't know. Do you think those were like pro Pratt?
I've no idea. People are clearly passionate about it. I suspect they might have been in my camp, which is who the fuck cares, and any amount of time spent talking about it is letting the motherfuckers win.
Are we just about to do that though?
Well, I guess we might as well give it a little bit of lip service. What is your opinion on Chris Pratt's casting as Mario?
The further I get away from it, I'm just fine with it because I'm legitimately, like you said, just who cares? Like, this is a movie for kids, and if you like it, great. If you don't like it, it's fine. They make lots of other movies you can enjoy.
I think the point is that there's not really anything you can do that would be untrue to the character of Mario.
Because, he's not really a character, right?
Mario has no character. He's done everything. He's been a doctor. He's done go-karting. He's been an MMA fighter. You could do literally anything and put Mario's face on it.
Has he been an MMA fighter? Was that a game? I guess Smash Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. I was referring to Smash Brothers.
I laughed at some of the things saying that Chris Pratt isn't Italian-American, so that's an insult to the Mario character, which I'm like, yes, all of those Italian references in various Mario games.
A very sensitive portrayal of Italians Mario has always been.
Yeah. I mean, if they want, so the big movie coming out this weekend is the Many Saints of Newark, which is the prequel to the Sopranos. So if they want, they could just swap those casts and everything would be fine. So just have the entire cast of The Sopranos as the Mushroom Kingdom, and then no one's angry.
When did it become a thing that Mario and Luigi were from Brooklyn? Because I think that was something that, like, the TV and movie adaptations in the 90s just made up.
Yeah, it was definitely a part of the 1993 movie, like the live-action movie that sort of bombed, and then Nintendo stopped making movies for a very long time.
The reason why you probably couldn't do a live-action movie of Mario, if only because that Bob Hoskins lightning was never going to strike twice.
It really wasn't, no. Or the Dennis Hopper, I'm just doing this for a paycheck Bowser, which you gotta appreciate. Yeah,
you could tell he was having a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. This casting, I thought the situation of the casting was really funny because it was during this really anticipated Nintendo Direct, and Miyamoto came out, which we don't see him in every Direct, so that was nice, and then he presented the movie, and with every new bit of casting, even though, again, with hindsight, I think a lot of it's just totally fine, but it was just like, I personally thought they were going to go down the road of sort of unknowns. And I was just I was just clearly wrong.
I think the casting smacks of irony.
How so?
Jack Black as Bowser, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. That just smacks of taking the piss. And I think that might be the angle they're going for. Because, you know, that's every CG animated movie these days. They're always a little bit, you know, irreverent.
Well, yeah, and you get, your casting is like, let's get like some young up and coming, like who's like the hottest actor right now. And so they'll cast like Timothée Chalamet, or in this case, Anya Taylor-Joy as Princess Peach. And then like, who's funny? Who does everyone think is funny? It's like, everyone thinks Seth Rogen and Jack Black are funny. So it just seems like you're ticking off boxes. And then the Chris Pratt of it all is just, he's in Marvel movies, he's in Jurassic World, and he's in the Lego movies, and all three of those have made billions of dollars, so...
Yeah, and I doubt
there you go.
I doubt he'd do a voice performance that only Chris Pratt could do. I don't... He's got a sort of distinctive voice enough for that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he'd do the sort of performance where if you didn't know it was Chris Pratt, you'd be able to tell.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other thing, is people are forgetting, like, the Lego movie, the first one especially, is just was incredibly well-received. Like, people love that movie. Mm. And the way it took a thing that doesn't have a lot of, like, you know, external, like, personality in just terms of, like, a Lego man, and then imbuing it with that. So, I don't know. I'm curious about the movie, but in the same way, I don't know. If it's awful, it's not gonna change my day whatsoever. It's also not going to change the Mario games.
I suspect, I mean, this is just like based on absolutely nothing at all. I think they might be going in a Wreck-It Ralph sort of direction where they do, where they all have the day job, where they do the kidnapping and the rescue thing. And then all the players turn off and they all like shuffle off back to the green room and just act as normal people. Because that's practically canon. I mean, wasn't it like officially said that the reason why Bowser and Mario can do go-karting and golfing together is because all the games are just like theatrical productions. They're all like actors on a stage.
I mean, that was like the whole premise of Mario 3 for the NES, was that the curtain raises and then the whole thing is presented as a stage and you exit stage right at the end of a level. So yeah, I think if we want to go into actual Mario canon, which I think there's very little of, I think that's absolutely part of it.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I don't like... I'm not sure what people wanted from this. Whoever was like offended or angry at this, it was the second they announced the Mario movie, you should have known where you stood on it. And if it was a hill you were going to die on, that's probably just pick another hill. Literally any other hill.
I don't think anybody wanted it. I don't think anybody didn't want it either. I don't think anyone really like gave it much thought.
No. And it's, you know, part of it is just understanding like Miyamoto is getting older, and it's clearly the things he's focusing on is less the sort of nitty-gritty of singular video games and more of these larger ideas. Like, you saw Mario get into the world of Legos, and then they opened the Mario theme park at Universal Studios Japan, and they just announced the Donkey Kong expansion. I like how the theme park is getting its own DLC as well, which is just very fitting. And so yeah, I mean, he wants
not everything is fucking DLC. Put an extension on your house, it's not your house getting DLC, for fuck's sake.
I think it is. If you add a third bathroom to your house, that's just shit or DLC. So
it's only DLC if you download it. Maybe if they get like some really sophisticated 3D printing drones some point in the future.
Yeah, 3D printed like an entire little room.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Download an extension for your house.
Yeah. But yeah, Miyamoto just wants to be Walt Disney. And that's pretty clear. And he's already conquered video games. So
you want to expand your influence, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I get it. And yeah, I mean,
Mario and Mickey Mouse are good, pretty close equivalents, really.
Yeah. And especially in that the two of them have very little personality. And most of the time it's them sort of, reflecting the weirdos around them.
Yeah.
Just, you know, someone like Donald Duck and Goofy, or Luigi and Bowser.
Yeah. And there's no canon or continuity there. There's no like established like setting. It's not like Sonic the Hedgehog where, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog has a planet he lives on and he defends it from Dr. Robotnik. It's not like that. That's something you can latch on to.
Yeah, part of me wonder. I mean, the Mario movie's been in development for longer, but part of me wonders if like Nintendo saw that Sega had actual, you know, success, quote unquote, the Sonic movie. Like, it made a lot of money, pretty well received. It was one of those movies that kids liked, and adults found it inoffensive. And so I wonder if like part of the Nintendo Sega feud was still like, well, shit, if they could do this, we could do this.
I have my suspicions about that Sonic movie.
Uh oh. Because
that whole business, like halfway through, where they like showed off the character and it looked absolutely nightmarishly horrible.
Yeah, yeah, and then they like made the CG companies go into crunch.
Was that, I suspect, some kind of engineered moment where they could pretend like that was they were going for, so that they could easily grab good headlines by instantly caving and replacing it with something that didn't look like absolute dog shit?
Just set a very low bar.
And in doing so, create a sort of element of positivity and a successful change to what is, let's face it, a very cynical enterprise of a film project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it just goes to show you that if you start a new job, do poorly on your first day, and then impress them later on by just doing adequately, and it'll be fine.
Yeah. That's
job advice for you.
Do you think there's any way they could do a live action Mario at this point? They've already done it, but it was fairly poorly received. Although I think a lot of people like it in retrospect from a nostalgic perspective. I mean, I think it's not bad.
Yeah, and I think it's almost gotten better with age if people are able to like get over the, oh my god, this was the Mario movie, and kind of look at it as a very strange time capsule. And especially when you start reading about the production and sort of the almost insane people who were behind it. And like you said, Bob Hoskins and Dennis Hopper and John Leguizamo, like it's a weird thing that it exists, and I'm really glad it does.
What do you think, if they did a live-action Mario now, what do you think it would be? Who would you cast?
I mean, would they literally keep this Danny DeVito? I still like Danny DeVito as Wario seems just perfect. Mm. And Willem Dafoe as Waluigi, that just seems like, you know, the internet has rallied around that, and I feel like they need to do that.
I was about to say you'd never get Willem Dafoe to play Waluigi, but then I remembered he was in 12 minutes, so apparently he just takes whatever he can get.
You know what? Yeah, he just needed to find that watch. He just really needed that watch. It is interesting that we've hit a bit of a, I don't want to say like a renaissance of video game movies, but I feel like we're on a tick where for a very long time they were considered just awful. And now maybe that's the whole setting the bar low thing, is we got the Sonic the Hedgehog movie and Detective Pikachu, which were totally fine. I think kids love them. I think if you had to go with someone who's young, I think you're totally fine seeing it. And then earlier this year, literally one of my favorite movies of the year is Werewolves Within, which is based on that Ubisoft VR, you know, simulation of like Werewolf, the sort of social deduction game, which is weird to count as a video game adaptation, but it is. And the movie's incredible. It's like one of the funniest and like most satirical horror movies in decades. Like, I think it's genuinely great.
I never heard of that game. Maybe the fact that it was a lesser well-known game meant that it didn't have so many attachments in the minds of the audience, and that's why it worked out better.
It was a VR-only game, so that immediately its audience was very small. It was a VR-only, multiplayer-only game, which I think at that point, trying to find two people who know each other with VR is rare enough.
That's the tiny sliver in the Venn diagram, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But then we have a lot of, you know, we have stuff coming up. Like, we know we keep seeing images of the Uncharted movie. Like, that's a real thing, starring Spider-Man and Mark Wahlberg.
I'm not sure that would work the way like Sonic or Detective Pikachu works, because those two were like sort of taking a sort of slightly ironic approach to something that's very, you know, cartoony, very shallow sort of product. But Uncharted practically is live action. I mean, graphically. I mean, I'd say the same about The Last of Us, which is also being adapted.
Yeah.
But the fact is, when they made the Mario movie, Mario didn't really have a human face. Mario was a sprite. But Nathan Drake in Uncharted, he has a human face. You think of him and you think that's what he looks like. We've seen him in the games. He looks realistically human.
And the places he goes are familiar places, and the things he does are familiar in the, you know, action adventure genre. So the idea that you would take something like, any of these live action, you know, Uncharted or The Last of Us or Tomb Raider, which are games so heavily inspired by very specific movies, and then turn them back into movies, it just feels like, you know, the question is ultimately why? And like, that's coming from someone I'm genuinely excited for the Last of Us TV show. I think like the crew behind it is wonderful, but
sort of like the opposite of what happened with Street Fighter, the game, where they made it into a movie and then the movie was adapted into a game.
Yeah. That's it's just an Ouroboros. It just never ends.
Yeah. Adapt. Because, you know, the studios will just say, hey, we're adapting this thing because it's got name recognition and everyone creams their pans over it. And then it comes out and everyone forgets about it. And so the cycle goes on and society doesn't get any better. And
society definitely does not get
and
better.
And we are kept in a state of constant distraction.
Yeah.
By marketing.
Oh, that sounds about right.
By marketing stunts dressed up as movies. And why don't we all just kill ourselves now? So, the other adaptation that caught my eye was the Cowboy Bebop one.
Yep. And that's another in a long line of, let's take this perfectly good, beloved anime and then turn it into live action for some unknown reason. Yeah. And we've seen that with Dragon Ball Z, and we've seen that with Death Note. Yeah, we've seen it time and time again. And very rarely has it ever... Has the live action thing turned out to be anything even slightly interesting, let alone, you know, better than its source material?
I think that Hollywood still has this like superiority complex that makes it think that anything it does to something that's a video game property or an anime property is some kind of service to it, whatever they do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always regarded as a step up when something gets a Hollywood film adaptation. Even though, you know, it was working perfectly well as a video game or an anime.
Mm-hmm.
Or these days, I would say, like, streaming television is probably the more prestige.
Dominant.
The more prestige medium than Hollywood films.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Hollywood films need to be taken down a peg or two. Needs to stop being so big for its boots and realize we're all down here in the gutter now in this age of streaming. There's no...
I wonder if they have been taken down a peg, though, in the age of streaming. Like, if they realize that more people watch, like, The Queen's Gambit than any movie last year.
Well, I guess... Well, all that really comes out in Hollywood these days is just, like, these big action, like, comic book movies these days.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only thing that makes money now.
Yeah, I mean, the entire middle has been cut out, so it's either, you know, bare bones indie or cost $200 million to make and is based off an existing property.
Remind you of video games at all?
Oh, no, it's us.
Yeah, we're the problem.
We are the baddies. But yeah, for me, with the anime to live action adaptations, in my mind, the only reason to do it is do something with this new medium that wasn't done in the previous one. So show me something different.
So the way they're showing off Cowboy Bebop as a sort of shot-for-shot remake of the anime, except with everyone a bit less slatterly dressed.
Yeah. And the and movement being a little bit stranger, because exaggerated movement with an animated character makes sense, but like doing just weird jump kicks as a live-action human looks kind of strange. I did think the intro looked good, though. Like,
yeah, well...
It could have looked worse. I don't know.
I guess maybe... It's just because the Cowboy Bebop intro just generally kicks ass.
Yeah, and the Yoko Kano score is back, so it's like, you know, on paper, they didn't screw the pooch too much.
Well, you hope.
Well, at least in the intro, so at least you get to see that, you know, before every episode of, like, whatever the 10-episode season is, so that's nice. So
what do you think of this? Do you remember the Sin City adaptation?
That was huge.
That's what it reminds me of. It feels less like...
Yeah.
Trying to adapt the thing, more just sort of recreate it as a sort of, you know, novelty stunt. Say, hey, look what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Like recreating the Mona Lisa with slices of toast.
Yeah. But the one thing with Sin City...
It's impressive on one level, but it's also not really worth having while the real Mona Lisa exists. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, I 100% agree. But I wonder if the good that could come from a thing like that, and even the live-action Cowboy Bebop... is getting people, since it's on Netflix, a certain million amount of people are going to watch this based solely on the fact that it'll be on the splash screen as soon as you open Netflix. And if that gets some fraction of those people interested in the original anime, and they could click over and just watch Cowboy Bebop, then it's like, well, good, I guess. Like, I'm glad more people have watched The Cool Thing. And if, you know, folks who saw Sin City in theaters, because that was also, what, 15 years ago or so, like, graphic novels and comic books and that sort of, like, nerd shit wasn't directly in the forefront of pop culture like it is now. You know, that was pre-Walking Dead, pre-Game of Thrones, pre-MCU, so...
That's the other adaptation, actually, that I noticed this week. The Sandman. Neil Gaiman's Sandman getting a Netflix series that Neil Gaiman has been tweeting incessantly about.
Yeah, and that's... It's funny to finally see that, because I feel like that's something that's been talked about for an extremely long time.
Isn't that one of those notorious development hell projects?
Yep. And it was like, we're going to do it as a movie, or we're going to do it as a series, or... Yeah.
So, because they can finally do all this just because, like, Netflix is so... so much money to spread around.
Yeah, they open up their pocket, they wallet their little coffers and say, you know, as much money as you want. It's it's pretty impressive on Netflix's part.
Sooner
honestly.
Or later they're gonna run out of shit to adapt, and then they'll come to my door, motherfucker. That's my time in the sun.
I thought ultimately they were just gonna start adapting things that they've already adapted. So like they're like, we made The Irishman a few years ago, so let's just remake that. We'll just do a 5-part miniseries of The Irishman.
That's true, isn't it? You can just because it's been adapted once before doesn't mean they can't adapt it again.
No. What did you think? Going back to Mario, what did you think? There was an outcry that Charles Martinet was not allowed to voice Mario, and they've said Charles Martinet, who's, you know, he's been the voice of Mario, he's done all the wahoos, and I think he voices most of the critters in those games. They said he's doing some voices in the movie, but clearly he's not doing Mario, and some people were very upset about that. So how did you feel about that? Did you have strong feelings?
Well, I thought about it. And at first I thought, well, this is, you know, what I was talking about earlier. Movies are just having no respect for other mediums, or that Charles Martinet is a established thing. That we've all been, like, associating. That's basically been the iconic Mario voice for many, many, many years. But then I thought, well, this might be a necessity of the change of medium, because Charles Martinet's voice works in a video game to drive home certain things, like don't run into that enemy or you'll get killed. And it probably wouldn't be as nice if it was something we were having to listen to for 2 hours and we were supposed to, like, emotionally engage with the character.
Yeah, that's perfectly said, that his voice is there to act as a feedback to mechanics in the game.
Yeah.
His wahoo is feedback for doing a good triple jump. Like you said, his sort of shout when he gets nicked by an enemy is like, well, don't do that, or else you're going to have to hear this Italian man make that noise again. So that's not good. Mm. And I just don't know, can he deliver, you know, a 20-second monologue? Like, I don't, maybe he can. I just don't know. Like, has he ever voiced anything, like a character that has
I once heard a voicemail that he recorded for, like, some game retailer. It might have been GameStop. It was like a voicemail that they got him to do to, like, send as, like, a robocall to people who'd pre-ordered Super Mario Galaxy. And it was like this 30-second monologue about his great new game and how you can come and buy it now. And yeah, that wouldn't work in any kind of movie setting.
Yeah,
because he did the whole thing in, like, rattling it off as, like, this, like, hyper fast monologue, as you'd expect from, like, a
Mario. Yeah,
and it would just be exhausting to listen to. It was like a character in a movie who was, like, part of a scene with other characters. You'd probably be a little bit nonplussed by the whole thing.
And I think the thing people aren't paying attention to is that these adaptations they're only partially for the people who already, like, deeply love the thing. And then they're also there mostly for people who generally just sort of like the thing or don't know about the thing. I mean, in the case of Mario, most people at the very least know the thing. But the people getting really up at arms over the Mario casting to me is just like, well, the movie's for a lot more people than just you. So that's why they chose a bunch of names that, you know, you laugh at when they were said in order by Miyamoto, but ultimately when you look back on, you're like, okay, I guess that makes sense to make a bunch of character posters with you know, DK's face and then Seth Rogen's name underneath.
Well, I'm suddenly reminded of something I once said in a video and I was talking about single player game franchises suddenly doing like a multiplayer focused installment.
Okay, what's that?
Like the Wolfenstein, the whatever it was called.
Youngbloods?
Yeah.
Youngbloods?
I remember saying, why can't we just have something that's ours? Why can't we just have something that's ours without it being taken away and having its legs broken for the benefit of Timmy Cuntface?
Well, because Timmy has money as well. They would like some of Timmy's money.
Well, I think that was my conclusion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Timmy's money rules over everything. So
I guess it would be very misguided to try to like think of Mario as some kind of niche thing that's just for you.
Yeah, especially when you're like, does anyone feel that way about like Mickey Mouse? Like you said, these are two of the like probably the most iconic animated characters of the last century.
Well, I don't think, yeah, Mickey Mouse is just like a thing that's been in the background noise of everyone's lives. But Mario is still like, video games generally are still a young enough thing that there are people who have a lot of nostalgia for it and have it closer to the center of their hearts, I suppose. They remember those childhood days, letting themselves in with their latchkey and playing Super Mario 3 on the living room floor until mum came back with the KFC.
Yeah.
Not realizing...
That's a very specific one.
not realizing it at the time, but knowing in retrospect it was the best their life would ever get.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why didn't we have someone just in our ear to whisper that it's all downhill from here, just constantly throughout that span of our lives?
Well, maybe they were just telling it to us in a language we didn't understand. Maybe it was just, maybe that was puberty. That was the universe telling us that it was all downhill from here.
We should have seen the signs. They were directed right at us. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious about this Mario movie, if they're going to try to use it as a jumping off point for the dreaded CU word, not the C word. Cinematic universe is the word I was going for.
Oh, I was wondering where you were going for it. You know,
I guess you can't have, there's only one C word, and it bows to no one. Well,
the fact that they've cast Donkey Kong as well sort of sets my cinematic universe senses tingling.
And cast him as a Seth Rogen, a big actor who could headline his own movie, and then they could cast Timothy Chalamet as Diddy Kong whatever the hell they want to do.
Nintendo is well acquainted with the crossover between its properties, of course.
No, yeah, absolutely. And but when I even mean greater universe, I mean I made it as a joke, and I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I feel like more than one call has been made between the studio doing this, the studio that's done Sonic, and the studio that's done Detective Pikachu of, let's say, down the road, there is like a Nick Fury-esque tease at the end of a movie about a Smash Brothers movie. And like, you have to believe that they're trying to consider this. Like
the video game cinematic universe?
Yeah, and it's not like, this isn't a thing I want to exist, but knowing Hollywood, it's a thing that they're trying to make exists. And so, I'm curious to see, especially if this movie makes a lot of money, which I imagine it will, is good, which we don't know. That's, I think, still up in the air. But
well, I'm sure the idea has been floated, because the idea of cinematic universe has been floated for fucking everything, hasn't it?
It really has, yeah.
Yes. I mean, more so a few years back when people didn't realize what a death knell it was to declare your cinematic universe before it even got started. Thinking of you, Tom Cruise is the mummy.
Oh, remember that like whole photo about the dark cinematic universe? So they had all the actors and they all looked very sad.
Awkward.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters was going to be a cinematic universe.
Yeah. It's wild when they do it before they have literally anything to show.
Yeah.
Which is right before we went live, we were talking about how Activision announced the Call of Duty cinematic universe. And we just haven't gotten that yet.
Before it was cinematic universes specifically, there's always been cases of like people just like assuming this thing was going to be the next big thing and already announcing the toys and the cartoon series and all of that.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. It's like looking at the success of the MCU and just not looking into how it got there.
Yeah,
and just looking at the finish line and being like, all right, let's do that. We'll do what they've done for the last 10 years, but let's do it right now.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of video game cinematic universe, it's long been like a dream project of mine to do a sort of write-up of the video game Wald Newton family. Sort of like cross over as many video game universes as possible, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen style.
Okay, yeah. I like that, yeah.
I mean, you know, it might be fun to write a book set in that universe, but, you know, the only reason Alan Moore could do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen because everything was out of copyright.
Well, yeah, I was about to say it's public domain, right?
Yeah.
Hey, and that got its own movie. How'd that turn out?
Awfully.
Poorly. Yeah, it did not turn out well. The other part of this universe expanding that I find funny is so the final Smash Brothers DLC character is being announced next week. And they're like making a big deal. They said this is the last one officially, and it's being announced on a stream. And a lot of people are thinking it might be Sora from Kingdom Hearts, which would then just canonically link Mickey and Mario finally for the first time.
Oh shit. And then Disney buys Nintendo, and then the cyberpunk future begins.
It does. But like the good cyberpunk future, not the one that came out last December and was kind of janky. A nice one, the one we all like. The one, I will say there's one, to jump back to anime, there's one anime to live action adaptation that I think is genuinely great and not enough people talk about, and I think it's Speed Racer. Did you see Speed Racer by the Wachowskis?
I'm afraid that one slipped me by. I know they did adapt it.
I think it is genuinely great. Like unironically, I think, and the reason I think it's good is not because of the characters. I don't care about the characters, don't care about the story, but the way they legitimately shot the movie and made the movie, it looks unlike any other movie ever made. And it does this very strange things with focus and depth of field to make it look like a live action anime. And it doesn't seem like they're like, well, let's just put the camera here because that's where it was on the cartoon. Like they legitimately just created new filming techniques to make the movie look unlike anything else that had ever been made. And to me, I'm like, okay, there was a reason to make this. You've given me something that I've never seen before and haven't seen since. So, yeah, just do that.
You know,
and that movie was a giant bomb, so maybe don't do that.
Yeah, you could basically have been describing the adaptation of Scott Pilgrim versus the World there as well.
That's a perfect example, yeah. And again, stuff that, like, thankfully, Edgar Wright did it once and then never revisited it. Like, he's one of those directors that goes on and does something new every time, so. I'm
trying to think of other anime adaptations. Not a fan of Battle Angel Alita, I take it.
I was not, no. I know a lot of people loved it, but
fucking CG.
I don't like the big eyes.
Frozen eyes.
Get those big eyes out of here. Yeah, movie should only have one size of eyes, and it's not big.
There's been a couple of movies that were adaptations of like graphic novels and stuff that nobody knew were graphic novels, like A History of Violence.
History of Violence, yeah, that's a good one. Ghost World.
Yeah,
there's a lot where you go back and like the Tom Cruise time loop movie was based on a manga. Edge of Tomorrow, I believe it was a manga called All You Need Is Kill, which is that's a name.
I got to think there's got to be some movies that were mangas that we didn't know about. So, and you just listed one, so thank you for that.
Look at that.
I had no idea that was a manga.
I don't think, I don't even think they like leaned into it during the promotion of the movie. They weren't like, oh, and by the way, check out this thing. It was like, well, we'll just pretend this is a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a Tom Cruise movie ripping off Groundhog Day.
It was ripping off 12 minutes. At the end, it turns out him and Emily Blunt. Never mind. I'm not going to spoil that.
Fair enough. Let's not spoil things. Shall we go to super chats?
That sounds lovely. Hello, chat. You've given us your super chats. We've ignored them.
Yes,
but
because
that's just what we do for the first half.
Yes, we acknowledge super chats in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So they've all suddenly become irrelevant, and that's the way we like it. So if you wanna ask us a question, now is a good time to get your super chats in. We'll still be taking them for a while yet while we're answering these. Mm-hmm. So remember, all your super chats support our work and ensure we don't have to chase algorithms and stuff, so they're all very much appreciated, even if we take the piss out of you for asking stupid questions. Just keep that in the back of your mind for the next half hour or so. Gene Venter gives $10 Canadian to say Yahtzee for Gordon Freeman in the Half-Life movie.
Incredible.
Just because I've got glasses and beard. Everyone's got glasses and a beard. Marty's got glasses and a beard. Gordon Freeman.
Does that mean I have to be Gordon Freeman?
You know who I always thought would be really good as Gordon Freeman?
Who's that?
Charlie Sheen in the movie The Arrival. I'm just looking for a picture. There's two movies called Arrival. One of them is a recent one
Yeah, I've seen that one.
A sci-fi movie that's really good. There's another one called, I think it's called The Arrival, and Charlie Sheen's in it.
Yeah, he is.
And he looks the dead spit of Gordon Freeman in it.
This was a 96 movie, and so it's just possible that they had that in mind while modeling that character, because I know Nintendo has all but confirmed that Link's image in Ocarina of Time was modeled after the biggest movie in the world at the time, which was Titanic, and so that's just kind of Leonardo DiCaprio.
I found a picture
and
now.
Kojima's done the same thing.
I found a picture now. I'm just going to put it in front of your webcam so everyone can see. Hang on. I have to open the image in a new tab. There we go.
Doing my Sheen transformation.
Ta-da!
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, you'll see it in a second. See what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think absolutely. Yeah, the facial hair is exactly the same, the glasses, yeah. That's him. That also doesn't look like Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, yeah, he really like scrubbed down a bit for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But probably modern day Charlie Sheen, you probably couldn't
cast
for the role because he's out of his fucking mind.
Hey, who knows what would happen to Gordon Freeman if they ever make Half-Life 3.
There you go. I mean, he never spoke. He could have been talking about Tiger Blood for all the time for a wiener.
Alex was just rolling her eyes like, God, he's doing it again.
That guy, you know, gives us $5 to say, I think the Mario casting and live-action Cowboy Bebop is a symptom of Hollywood's general disrespect of Japan and anime. Yes, we were saying that.
I don't know if it's a disrespect. I think it's more Hollywood just wants to make money off of anything that already has a fan base behind it.
I think it's just that they're different worlds, and Hollywood wants to make a thing that's comfortable to Hollywood. The sort of thing they're comfortable making.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see the adaptation. Yeah, I don't see it as disrespectful to Japan. I just see it as, someone else has done the hard work, so let's try to capitalize off that by putting our own Hollywood spin on it, which no one else could do.
All the Games gives $4.99 to say, my bigger concern with the Mario movie is that the studio behind Minions is doing the animation. It concerns me for the character models. You know, they could just ask Nintendo for the character models they've already got. I mean, that's sort of the issue with making a CG movie in this case.
Yeah, and they already like modeled his nipples and everything in Mario Odyssey, so they could just they could send those nipple files over to the movie company, so they'd have those in their back pocket in case Mario goes swimming at all in the movie.
See, that's an argument for doing a live action Mario movie, because in that case, at least it would feel like an adaptation. But if it's just CG, then he's already in CG. We could just watch a short made of the models they've already made.
Yeah, I don't personally think. I have no love for the Minions movies, but I don't think Illumination, that studio, is incapable of modeling the Mario characters, because as iconic as the Mario characters all are, they're not extremely detailed.
No, they're not complicated. Unless they try to do that thing that a lot of CG animated movies did, where they have like the cartoonish proportions but hideously realistic texturing.
So it
ends up looking like that realistically textured, photoshopped picture of Mario that has been sent around.
I don't want that. I don't want to see like pores on his skin or like, I don't want the hair to look real. Just make him look like a cartoon. That's fine.
I hate when they do that.
Yeah.
Little realistic fur all over Yogi Bear, so he looks like he's wrapped in fucking toilet mats.
If they're going to do it, though, then they need to go whole hog, and they need to anatomically show Donkey Kong the entire time, because I have seen gorillas in the wild, and let me tell you that there is some bits and boops hanging out there. And
right, Donkey Kong with his bollocks hanging out. Is that what you want?
I think that'd be great. I think, why not?
Well,
go whole hog.
Well, did you know that gorillas actually have one of the proportionally smallest penises in the animal kingdom?
No, not our Donkey Kong.
Yes, gorillas have tiny, tiny knobs. This is something I happen to know.
This is... This is something I happen to know. You don't have to say why, that's fine.
Yes, I'm just a generally well-read person, and one of the facts I latched on to, apparently, is that gorillas have surprisingly small penises.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like if the Mario movie explored that, I think it'd be a brave decision.
Mm-hmm. You know one of the largest proportional penises for body size?
Diddy Kong.
Barnacles.
No. Barnacles? Really?
Barnacles, yeah. Because they have to mate with another barnacle that's like two rocks away, and neither of them can move. So the barnacle has a penis that's something like 2 meters long.
Jesus. So when a barnacle latches onto like a ship, does that mean it's just trying to like hump the ship? What's going on there?
That would be dumb.
Okay.
Because its willy faces outwards.
Ooh.
It really
is trying to hump like whatever the ship
like,
passes.
It's more like it's French kissing the ship.
Oh, that's cute. I read that barnacle fact. That's good. I'm keeping that one in my back pocket. Even if it's not true, that's fine.
Moving on. President Walker gives $5 to say, I wish we were able to see Nathan Fillion play Drake in an Uncharted movie. That independent trailer was great. Oh, I think he's a bit old now.
Yeah, that's the problem. Maybe if they would have made the movie like not even 10 years ago, like he was kind of he's going to be running around and scrambling.
See, that's the problem, because as I say, we already have a face we associate with Nathan Drake, and it's just sort of generic handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan Fillion, well, I wouldn't say he's ugly, but he has a sort of characteristic face. He doesn't have a generic face.
No, yeah, his face absolutely stands out.
Hmm.
And I think what they're trying to go for in Uncharted is like Uncharted Origins, which I don't know.
Well, I assume so, because you know Tom Holland is practically a sperm.
Yeah,
he certainly doesn't look old enough to be the Nathan Drake in the games.
No. And I also like the fact that I believe at a certain point Mark Wahlberg was cast as Nathan Drake, and then the movie was in production hell for so long that he aged out of it and became Sully. So that's nice.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
That guy you know gives $2 to say the Oscars might as well be best Disney Pixar film.
Well, I mean, in the animated categories, yes, but Disney, I don't think a Disney live action movie has won in a very long time. That was like a Buena Vista movie, probably. So
you know what I hate about like modern movies doing everything with CG. Doesn't feel like there's any interesting technique to filmmaking anymore. Like, I used to hear stories about how they used to make like the sci-fi effects in the first Star Trek movie by having like a big tank of water and filling it with metallic paint and all kinds of really like out there shit.
Yeah.
That was fun. Just like, you know, we just did it with Photoshop. That's not fun. All the conversation just dies instantly.
No, 100%. Yeah, I completely agree. I really like when you see little behind the scenes things of like how they did something in a movie. There's like a mirror shot in Contact. You see the behind the scenes of a bunch, how they did that, and that's really neat. Or like some of the extended one take shots and stuff, like Children of Men or The Haunting of Hill House. That it just feels like genuine, like, you know, quote unquote movie making, as opposed to, well, we wrapped production 16 months ago and then we just shipped it off to 30 different animation houses and they've been working on it one frame at a time.
It feels like there used to be a lot more how it was made behind the scenes, like documentaries attached to films. I remember seeing one for Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which would
be amazing.
Yeah, technological marvel. They had like robots on set. They had...
Mm-hmm.
They like hand drew all the animated characters on top of like the live action ones.
Yeah, it's crazy how that movie is still visually impressive to me. Whereas, like, I don't know, Detective Pikachu or Sonic, which ostensibly do the same thing of an animated character. And humans,
it's AJ. It's AJ.
Yeah.
We downloaded the fur algorithm that everyone else is using.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know if we're just numb to it now. Kind of like the same thing how we've talked about in graphics and games, where you just kind of numb to things looking good.
Even matte paintings are like endlessly more interesting to me than CG.
Yeah.
Just
like
getting someone to paint a really nice picture and then like arranging it in front of a camera.
Yeah.
To make it look like the characters are walking into it.
Yeah. The little, the original Star Wars trilogy doing that and using models. And I think that's great. Whereas,
real crime then, of course, was George Lucas remaking all of that with CG.
And CG that has not aged well whatsoever. So,
Rant over. Phantom of the Night gives $10 to say, look up Mario in real time. It shows Charles can do extended dialogue as Mario and company. Well, if you say so. I still don't think it would work for a film because it's got a very specific emotional tone, that performance, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ideally, you want a film character to have a range of tones. I mean, how would Charles Martinet's Mario convey a eulogy? Let's say Luigi just got shot by a sniper, and Mario has to do a eulogy at the funeral. Could you picture that? Could you picture that, and it actually working as a moving scene?
I think it'd be very funny.
Exactly.
I would genuinely love to see that.
Exactly. It could only be,
yeah,
like taking the piss.
It's a me sadness. Yeah, I just don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't know. And that's, again, that's not like knocking his skills at all, because clearly he's very skilled at the voices and noises that Nintendo needed him to make for these games for so long. But it's just a different medium.
I'm just picturing that scene in Four Weddings and a Funeral when James Nesbitt does like the eulogy for the dude, and he reads that W.H. Auden poem. Mamma mia, stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone.
I would pay a lot of money to see that opening weekend.
That wasn't W.H. Auden did that poem. Who did that poem?
Yeats.
Was it Yeats?
I don't know. I don't think it was actually Yeats.
Oh, who cares? You know, that poem from that movie. We studied it in English class, actually. I think it's called Stop All the Clocks, Cut Off the Telephone. Who wrote that? Oh, and it wasn't James Nesbitt either. Well, fuck me then.
W.H. Auden.
Oh, it was W.H. Auden.
Huh. Yeah, Funeral Blues.
That's the one.
Or Stop All the Clocks. Look at that. You learned a little bit about poetry during this stream. Good for you guys.
Hmm. I used to do a poetry show on The Escapist, where I like wrote poetry about video games. Back when Jim Sterling was with us, we did like we co-produced a poetry series called Jim and Yahtzee's Rhyme Down Spectacular.
Incredible.
And I wrote a whole bunch of poems, and a lot of them were silly, but I actually like got pretty heartfelt with some of them.
I think even like the dumbest poems, you can find a little like kernel of something real in there.
Yeah, I've always liked poetry for what it can teach us about, how well you can make a line of dialogue scan.
Yeah,
I am big pentameter and all that. It's useful in my career as a comedy writer.
Of like trying to get a sentence or a thought down to the essence of
how
to make it sound good.
If you can arrange a sentence right, then so it scans well and it can be much more effective.
Which is wild, because it could be just be the same elements and like have ultimately the same meaning, but you imbue power to it based on what comes before and after.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. David Mankoff says Marty as not Jack in this episode is a great creative choice. Okay, I'm sure he appreciates being described as not Jack.
Yeah, I've worked my whole life towards being not Jack, and so I'm proud to fill in for not Jack. But Jack will be back next week.
You're welcome, David Mankoff. Give me a sec. But in Space, though, gives $5 to say Kevin Michael Richardson as Kamek is a casting I think people have slept on. He previously played the twins on Invincible and Trigon in Teen Titans. Well, it sounds like he's a career voice actor then. Unlike most of the cast in the Mario movie.
I don't know if he's going to be able to step into the massive shoes of Kamek, the turtle wizard, who has quite a bit of depth. He's got a wand that shoots out spells that look like little shapes.
Yeah, in Yoshi's Island, he took normal enemies, right? And he made them into big enemies. And that's a lot to take on board in the portrayal of the character.
Yeah, he stole babies in that movie.
Yes,
what
makes Kamek tick? What is it about turning regular enemies into boss monsters that motivates Kamek?
Yeah, do you think it's like a sexual thing?
I don't know.
Is that what you're getting at?
Maybe some like deep seated thing. Maybe in the past he's carrying a lot of baggage from his childhood when he felt intimidated by a large, aggressive father figure, and now he feels he has to take control of things by being the one responsible for making them large and aggressive.
Yeah. I think they should have started this whole thing with a gritty Kamek origin story, actually.
What are we on about? SVS Guru 2000 gives €5 to say, do you think we will get an initial trailer with a Nightmare Fuel Mario design a la Sonic? Well, if they do, we'll know I was right.
Yeah.
You know, I was right that this is a clever, calculated way to get easy bonus points and get some goodwill from the audience.
Yeah. I wonder if that's the if the casting announcement was their version of that.
Oh,
was like, well, let's just put this out there.
There's a thought.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they're going to change the casting at all, but maybe it's like, all right, let's set the bar very low in people's minds, and then we'll impress them when we have things to show.
Well, you know, maybe they're counting on Chris Pratt having hidden depths. Remember when it was announced that Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker in The Dark Knight? And everyone was like, that square-jawed pretty boy? Where my Willem Dafoe?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he won an Oscar, so there you go.
Because it was a mesmerizing portrayal.
So do you what you're trying to say is Chris Pratt's Mario is going to be as impactful culturally as Heath Ledger's Joker?
Well, you never know, do you?
You really don't, yeah. Do you think genuinely don't.
Think he's going to put an Italian accent?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I don't know which would be worse, if they just ignore it entirely or if they lean heavily into it.
Is he going to...
Probably if they lean heavily into it.
How can you have Mario without saying, it's-a-me, though?
I feel like you could have it be like a wink and a nod. Like maybe he says it when he looks into the mirror while shaving in the morning. I don't know how old's Mario. Mario's supposed to be, though. Does he shave? He's like an adult, right? Mario was like a full... Yeah, he's a plumber.
Yeah,
child plumber.
I think Nintendo officially announced that Mario's in his mid-20s permanently. In which case, that's a fearsome moustache for a mid-20s.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's... That's like worrisome. It's like that moment when when you're a kid and then all of a sudden you're older than the Simpsons kids, and then all of a sudden you hit a point you're older than Homer and Marge.
Oh yeah.
So that's
Homer was a teenager of the 90s now, did you hear?
Yeah. I don't like that at all. I don't wanna know about that. You don't have to say that.
He probably listened to My Chemical Romance.
God. Yeah, oh, I hate all of this. Nope. I don't like it. Phantom of the Night says if Mario's mid-20s, how old is Luigi? Aren't they supposed to be twins? Or is Luigi like No, Luigi's the younger brother, right? Because he looks up to Mario.
It's confusing. It's as confusing as any other attempt at continuity in the Mario universe. Mm-hmm. I think they've been referred to as twins, but then Mario is referred to as the older. But then it's quite possible to have an older twin. They're just older by a matter of minutes. But then again, in Yoshi's Island, when Mario is being brought by the stork, Luigi's already there. So maybe Luigi's the older brother.
That's right.
He's just got self-esteem issues.
I'm trying to see how... So Bob Hoskins was born in 42. Now I'm trying to see when John Leguizamo was born. So Bob Hoskins was born in 42. John Leguizamo was born in 64. So that would make Mario 22 years old.
That's quite a gap between kids, isn't it? You know what that says to me? Empty nest syndrome.
Yeah.
The parents had the first child, felt like that was enough. Then that child grew up and went away, and the parents missed it. So they had like a retirement baby. And that's why Luigi has such lower self-esteem, because they like smothered him more than they ever did the first child.
See, this is what the movie can delve into, using the pathos that comes from Charlie Day as Luigi.
Hit me up, Nintendo. I got a lot of ideas.
Yep, you can write the script for the movie that surely its script has already been locked.
I will take exactly as much piss as you would expect me to take.
A perfect amount of piss.
If you are taking a piss-taking approach, which I kind of suspect you are, hit me up.
You think that he's going to be canonically named Mario Mario?
Oh, probably. I mean, what else is going to be called? Mario... Giacomo? What?
That just sounds like a New York alderman at that point. Mario Giacomo.
Anyway, one last super chat. No more after this, please, because we're going to wrap things up. Emmanuel Toribio gives 250 DOPs, which are certainly a thing, I'm sure. who says mm-hmm. they'll do it ironically, like Mario will see a figurine of himself and will say, "It's a me, Mario."
That's legitimately might exactly be how they put it in the movie, actually. Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Do you remember when they did that gag in Assassin's Creed 2?
The NPC, right?
Where Ezio meets his Uncle Mario.
Yeah, it's a me, Mario.
Yeah, he literally says, "It's a me, Mario." And when that happened, I was like, was that supposed to be a subtle reference? Because it really wasn't.
Yeah. And then at that moment, Miyamoto called up Ubisoft and threatened to sue them into extinction unless they make Mario plus Rabbids. And then they did.
Well, that would explain a lot. I still think they should have done the Mario Assassin's Creed crossover.
Oh, God. Would Mario be assassinating? Like, he'd be cutting men's throats?
Yeah, tell me you couldn't picture it. Assassin in the little robe. Assassin Mario in the little hooded robe.
Yeah. And we already saw in Odyssey that he likes, like, dressing up in different things, so he could clearly sort of blend in with a crowd.
Yeah, and it's a natural connection, because Mario likes jumping on people and having an outrageous Italian accent. He and Ezio, practically blood brothers.
Yeah, I'd like to see Mario kill a Pope. I think that'd be neat.
Yeah.
I think that's something that would add some depth to his character.
A Koopa Troopa in a Pope outfit.
That's Kamek. Kamek is pretty much the Koopa Troopa Pope.
Just jump on them from on high and hidden blade them right under the shell.
I mean, we don't know. Like, maybe the sprites are so small in the original Mario that maybe he does have a hidden blade when he jumps on Goombas. Hmm. We just don't see it. We just assume he's killing them with his feet, but he's actually stabbing them in the head.
He does extend a fist when he jumps up.
Yeah. So, I think we're onto something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Mario is a cold-blooded killer.
Canonically. Yeah. That checks out.
Did Mario kill anyone in the Bob Hoskins movie? I feel like if he was going to kill anyone anywhere, he'd kill them there.
They had the guns and stuff in that movie. Like, they had the gun they used to kill Bowser, I believe, at the end was a Super Scope 6, like the big light gun rifle from the Super Nintendo.
It was
that was just some fine product placement.
It was a gritty setting. Unbelievably.
It's funny, if it weren't for Wreck-It Ralph, I feel like your proposal of what the Mario movie would be like would be almost perfect. I don't know if they're going to do that since it's already been sort of done-ish, but when has Hollywood ever shied away from doing something that's already been done?
If they did that, they wouldn't have to have, like, the racist Italian accent. They could just have him do it at the start, and then, like, when the camera's off, you could regress to normal, boring, tumpty-tum Chris Pratt voice.
Yeah.
And that would be the gag. It'd be like that bit in the first Judge Dredd movie where Stallone takes his helmet off. And was like, yep, we've just pissed over canon. Anyway, moving on.
Yep.
Well, I think that'll be it for us, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Slightly Something Else on this chilly September morn. Mm-hmm. I was Yahtzee Crozier. I was joined by Marty Sleaver.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for all your super chats. It helps support the site. I will be back tomorrow with Zero Punctuation, the post-CP stream. Yet to confirm who's joining me on that. Probably not Marty, because I wouldn't want to get sick of him.
No, that's true. That'd be bad.
So I will see you all then. Where will we see you next, Marty?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to be working on something for the new Outer Wilds expansion that just dropped today. I'm putting together a little thing that hopefully will be up by the end of the week.
Should be fun. Outer Wilds, not Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds, Outer Wilds.
That was what confused me before we started broadcasting.
No.
All right. We'll say goodbye then, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.